Beloved friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome you once again as we seek to assure the heart of all God's children that all the saints will participate in that wonderful event, the rapture of the saints. But let us again meditate upon the scripture found today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading, if I may, verses 50 through 52. Concerning the rapidity of the rapture. Here are the words of the beloved Apostle Paul. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Unquote. This passage is of great importance to our subject, the rapture of the saints, because it states with exactness the procedure in connection with the first resurrection, and it explicitly refers to that procedure in relation also to the living saints, supplying a detail of which no mention is made in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, that we, the living saints, shall be changed into bodies of glory before, get the thought now, we who are the living saints shall be changed into bodies of glory before being caught up to be with the Lord. This change from a flesh and blood condition into a condition of immortality is the main theme of the passage. Let me repeat that. This change from a flesh and blood condition must take place, will take place, changed into a condition of immortality. This is the main theme of the message. Now let us briefly summarize the context of this chapter. Christ is risen from among the dead. Christ is the pledge of the resurrection, of all resurrection. At His coming, those who are Christ will be raised, according to verse 23. They will be raised in bodies of incorruption, in bodies of glory and of power with spiritual bodies. They will bear the image of the last Adam, the heavenly man, the Lord from heaven, because they are of His lineage, partaking of His life and nature. Now, if we, who may be living, the living saints, are to share in the incorruptible kingdom of God, which will be the portion of all the risen saints, then we who are living, something is necessary, because the apostle has written, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In our present living, mortal body, we cannot inherit the glory. We must have changed bodies. Our present bodies cannot enter into the heavenly glory. And the revelation of this manner in which we obtain our new bodies is given to us in verses 51 and 52 of this great resurrection chapter. Behold, says Paul, I show you a mystery. The resurrection doctrine was no mystery. It was believed and it was taught from the earliest days of human history. But the new unfolding of the apostle is the rapture, with its revelation that not only sleeping saints are raised, but also living saints are changed. Follow the passage very carefully with me. First, says Paul, we who are alive, we shall not all sleep. Now in Scripture, the application of death for the believer is in respect to his body as being asleep. You can find that in many scriptures. And Paul reveals that when the Lord comes, many saints shall not be in sleep, meaning in death. They will be living upon the earth. Now the second thing he declares, we shall all be changed. Now lay hold of the inclusiveness of every living saint being changed. We shall all be changed. Not a select number, but every believer who is alive at the coming of the Lord will be the object of this wonderful miracle. Marvelous is the change, properly meaning in the original Greek text, to cause one thing to cease and another to take its place. Praise God, when Jesus comes for us, the earthly body will cease forever. Hallelujah. And in its place another body will be given, like unto his own glorious body, as we have noted previously in Philippians 3:20 and 21. Now, a third thing notice, the instantaneous act of this great change. It happens in a moment. It happens in the twinkling of an eye. Every living believer, not a select few, will be changed instantaneously on the same occasion at the last trump. The Greek word for moment is the word atomos, meaning from which we derive our word atom and atomic. And is not this a constant word on the tongues of men today in this so-called atomic age? Men have found a way to split the atom, which was once believed to be indivisible. The meaning of our word in the Greek is this, the word moment, that cannot be split in two or indivisible. Though men know how to split the atom, they never will be able to split the moment of time in which the rapture takes place. The rapidity of this change is of such swiftness that as quickly as the upper eyelid and the lower one can meet, so quickly will our Lord come and the rapture will be accomplished. The Lord descending from heaven and his saints rising to meet him in the air. Did he not say, "Behold, I come quickly," in Revelation 22, meaning without delay, denoting the rapidity of the event? Now, beloved, what a glorious translation that will be. A translation that is composed of risen saints and living saints. There will be no solitary Elijah going to heaven in a chariot of fire, but untold millions of glorified saints shining in heavenly radiance. They will rise to fill heaven with their hallelujahs. We can hear their mighty anthem upon their journey. The living saints will be singing, "O death, where is thy sting?" The risen saints triumphantly echoing back, "O grave, where is thy victory?" And thus in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, not a year, nor a month, nor a week, nor a day, nor an hour, nor a minute, nor even a second. Suddenly, silently and invisibly to the world, the saints will go home to glory. If light travels approximately 92 or 93 million miles from the sun to the earth in about 8 minutes, then in less than a second will this glorious event take place. No wonder God writes by the Spirit, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Glorious mystery indeed is the glory of the rapture. But oh, my friend, it raises the question, and we bring it before your heart and conscience. Are you ready for this? If our Lord were to come today, my friend, would you have a part in this glorious rapture? One person alone can make it possible for you to do that. You may ask who? And the apostle gives the answer in our chapter in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 57. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory, and note, through our Lord Jesus Christ. My beloved friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only victor over sin, over death, and over the grave. And if you would share in the consummation of that great victory, let me tell you how as I close. You need to be saved. And first of all, if you wish to be saved, you must see and confess that you're a lost sinner. Now, this is a very humbling but a very necessary thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And said the Lord Jesus in John 3, how we are condemned if we don't believe upon him. We are lost. But the second thing you must see, that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God alone, is an all-sufficient Savior. His death upon the cross was for your sins. He was bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And third, it is necessary for you to make a definite acceptance and confession of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for your soul. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not with the head, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let me repeat simply. First, if you wish to be saved, you must believe, you must confess, you must admit you're a lost sinner, and you deserve eternal hell as well as all the rest of us. But second, you must see that Jesus Christ alone is the only Savior who died for your sins upon the cross. Third, 'tis necessary for you to make a definite acceptance of receiving him. To as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to be called the sons of the children of God. And if you will do this, you will be in the glory of the rapture of the saints when Christ is yours. Oh, my sinner friend, we invite you to come along with us. Kneel now before your Savior and receive him as your own. Then you too will share in that soon coming great event, the rapture of all the saints. Beloved and blessed Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will do his work, convicting men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, that they may come to Christ, make him their Savior, and be ready for the coming of the Lord and the rapture of his saints. Blessed Lord, we pray that none of our listeners will be left behind, but they will share by grace through faith in the wonderful redemption that is ours in the Lord Jesus for his name's sake. Amen.